Here we go.
Gotta get out of here.
All right, Vanity Fair. I don't know how many people they have on staff or what their budget is over there when they're not paying that. Who's that guy that normally does all the pieces on all the. Who's their big investigative guy?
Ronan Farrow.
Mia Farrow and Frank Sinatra's love child. he normally does all the work and they find great big pieces. They decided they were going to spend, looks like a long time, on the idea that the virus could have come from a lab in Wuhan. Imagine that. And which was discredited. It was nonsense. It was a whole bunch of things that were described as part of the conspiracy theory. And Vanity Fair quietly went around and decided to talk to the people. And they did you read the whole thing, Tom? Did you get through it? Because I know it was big.
Okay. Yes, 45 pages worth. Every page is worth it. I cannot recommend this article enough. And yes. What it does is it gives you like a 45-page version of what we had done the story about 3 weeks ago. The Wall Street Journal did of discovering, you know, this evidence that miners had gotten sick that we hadn't known before. And then the scientists, this was in 2012, and then scientists. It is so in-depth. It's a bit overwhelming, but it's fantastic journalism.
Yeah, I was left with the impression, boy, you can't trust anybody. Here's the editor from Vanity Fair explaining.
So first, let me say there were a ton of conspiracy theories around the question of a lab leak. In my reporting, I sought to strip those away and look at what happened to the credible questions about the possibility of a lab leak from a laboratory in Wuhan. What I found is that there was a battle inside the federal government over what could be examined and really what couldn't. And part of the blockage came from President Trump's premature announcement in April of 2020 that it was a lab leak and he had confidential information to that effect. That created, according to one of my sources, an antibody response within the federal government where nobody wanted to be furthering a false set of facts or a racist set of facts. Oh. But the problem is that blocked these legitimate questions from being asked. And that was only one of the obstructions that we found in the effort to sort of credibly look at, could this possibly have come from a laboratory?
Okay, so because Trump said it, Trump's a racist. We can't follow along with it because what Trump said. It's the same thing that the media did, which was Donald Trump is a liar. Donald Trump's a racist. What Donald Trump says is nonsense. Okay. And even though Mike Pompeo and Tom Cotton said we should look into it because it had come from Trump, we'll take the opposite point of view, which is there's no way it came from the lab.
Okay.
Right.
I think that's your take on it, and that's your spin. I don't think that's quite what she said. What she said was his premature conclusion. And I think this is what the president is guilty of in this case is jumping to a conclusion that he wants to have true, which is the Chinese did it, they unleashed it, and they did it as part of a bioweaponry. And at this point, there was not enough evidence to justify that. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot like basically Trump, you know, he lived and breathed Fox News, and Fox News does a lot of this where they jump just, okay, here's what happened when you don't have the evidence of it, but there is a suspicion of that. And so he jumps to that conclusion. So at that point, the scientists were afraid that they were backing up something that was either false or racist. Yeah. They just didn't have that information. But that did. It is true that then said, wait a minute. We don't want to identify with that.
It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the fact that it came from Wuhan, that the Chinese lied, and also the World Health Organization carried the water. Here's more from...
But may also have been
here's
false.
More, by the way, both of us highly recommend this article.
So the U.S. government has funded what is called gain-of-function research.
And we have funded
it at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Yep.
That is risky research where pathogens are manipulated to see if they can be made more infectious. Part of the logic behind that sort of research is to try to gauge what the risks are in terms of a spillover to humans. But there are people who say you're essentially creating a perilous infectious virus that doesn't necessarily exist in nature. That kind of research was taking place at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the U.S. government, in fact, funded some of that research.
Oh.
So what people inside the State Department were warning about, according to my sources, is don't open that Pandora's box or that can of worms and look there.
Yeah. Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Panic, because then all of a sudden somebody could go, hold on a second. We were giving money to this group, and mm-hmm. they were doing this type of research, and then yeah. money that we gave them actually created the virus. Oh, no. Let's get Fauci to lie about
it. So it's important to find out, right?
Well, because the state.
What we learn is going to shape how we protect ourselves in the future. I think there is a possibility we will never find out. You know, as one expert, David Relman, told me, biological signals degrade. Time has lapsed. We did not get a team of experts into Wuhan early on in the pandemic, even though the U.S. government offered that. So I think, you know, and China has signaled that they're not going to open up, you know, any more records to the international community. So I think it is possible we will never learn the truth.
I thought when I finished that article, which I sat there and as my dyslexia, I'm going to plow through this thing. And I have to tell you something, Tom, when I finished it, it left me feeling like I was a man without an island, that I have little or I have not a lot of respect for bureaucracies to begin with. But after I finished the thing, it chilled me, Tom. I was chilled by the cover-up, by the deceit. When you read about Lancet and what the first scientist that sent the information out, and then they squashed all of it, and everybody battening down the hatches and deceiving, walking away either through direct or indirect admission or a commission of deceitful information in order to not let anybody really know what was happening. How did you feel when you finished the article? Did it give you more faith in the federal government or less faith in the federal government?
Well, first off, it gave me more and less. How's that for? Let me explain that, though, because, yes, what I think it showed you, the complexity of all of these interrelated departments, not just of our federal government, but of the world government, the WHO, the Chinese virology. We are in deep. I think the scientists operate in their own kind of world as well, so that they're really good Americans. There are only three laboratories that do what Wuhan, virology lab. I forget now what the official name is. The Wuhan Institute, and the other two are in the United States.
Yeah.
So the three research foundations are closely linked. They all know each other, and they work with each other, and they compare notes. So that, I think, is all to the good. The thing is that what happened in that virology lab, for the most part, has been great for science. Now, the question then happens, when you do these kinds of things and there's a problem, does everyone duck and cover? Does everyone kind of like, you know, want to do a CYA approach? My hunch is, and again, this is just based on, you know, all of our reading, we all have hunches, that something might have gone wrong at the virology lab in China, and they are loath to admit it because they feel like they've done so much good. If there's something that even if it was an accident, that they do not want to have to admit to it, because that means that all that work that they're doing to try to prevent future pandemics could come crashing down, and that's not worth it, so that people are compromised. To me, John, the most interesting character in this entire thing was, because Fauci really doesn't show up in it, it's a guy named Chris Ford, and Chris Ford is the guy who, when so the State Department, and remember, this is all under the Trump administration. So it's still this is not like, the Republicans and Democrats.
Don't get too far into it if we start naming characters that people don't know nor care about.
I just
wanted to know what you had more or less faith in the government when you see the cover up and when you see what they did in order to try to control the information and to discredit scientists that were coming forward with viable information saying, hey, we have a real concern.
But they weren't.
And the federal government shut it down. This is new information. That came up just yesterday. There was a man in China that was studying ticks and doing research, and he kept track of every single animal that was sold at that wet market, the one right there where they say the virus came from, and there was no bats sold at that market. There were zero bats sold, and he had been keeping track with it for 2 years. So there's just sort of this weird kind of serendipitous situation that he was doing research on ticks, so he kept track of every single species sold at that wet market. There were no bats available. But Well, that aside, I recommend it. Read it. It's 45 pages long. Moving on to the fact that
Don't move on yet. I got to get my point in here too about Chris Ford. So Chris Ford was working. I forget now at what level, but he was in the administration. And when this enclave of State Department people were trying to investigate what was going on there, he was very antagonistic, and they thought, oh, well, this guy is just basically a cover for China. And instead, it turned out that he was a China hawk, that he would have loved to jump at this information. But he thought if the information got out without enough evidence, that it was going to backfire on them. So he was very suspicious of this kind of lone wolf group within the State Department. And so even though he was anti-China, he realized that if you're really anti-China, you're not going to just jump to the President Trump conclusion that it was a bioweapon, because he thought that was a bridge too far. So there are everybody involved in it, I think, had good reasons for doing what they did. And I'm afraid that she's right in her conclusion. We may never know, because if you're China, you're going to cover up whatever you can at this point. And if all the evidence degrades, it's going to be harder and harder to prove.
Yeah. Well, the last part of it is this. One of the first things that Biden did is when he got in there, the people that were investigating it, he said, stop investigating it.
He just opened it up.
He wants a 90-day study. Now he does. He first got in there in January. He disbanded it. Stopped the budget. Stopped the investigation. Put the whole thing on ice.
He's got just the opposite now.
Now he is, because now we have the information, and now possibly we'll get the truth. Read it, everybody, and you too will find it, either as Tom does, both, how did you describe it, sort of down the middle
reassuring
of the road.
and nerve-wracking at the same time.
It just goes to show you, you really don't get the truth, and you certainly don't get the truth when the media decides that anything that Donald Trump says is nonsense. We'll go the other way,
and we'll say it came from something else.
But this is the media, John.
You don't get more mainstream than Vanity Fair.
Right, Tom. But this story in Vanity Fair, taking them almost a year to get this information for it. But let's remember, Facebook stopped anything, and Twitter stopped anything. If you put anything out there and it was, quote, misinformation, when you do a fact check, well, you can't do a fact check on something that all the facts aren't in on. But it didn't matter because social media doesn't want you to talk about things, because they want the narrative to be controlled by the people they want to control the narrative. So there really is no media, is there?
Okay.
Is there media?
This is a fine example of journalism at its best. And even the writer in that interview that we had talked about, there is one guy who sent an email to Fauci and says, I think it probably came from the lab. Then he did research and said, no, actually, I think it was a zoonotic cause, which means that it was a jump from animal to animal. Yeah. And then 6 months later, 9 months later, he wrote another email and says, actually, I've changed my mind. I think it could be both. That's the way science works, and that's the way journalism works, ideally. Yeah.
We didn't hear any of that. But it's nice to know Jeffrey Toobin's
back. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Alice.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Whew, talk about awkward.
Indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know.
Does she have pants on while she's talking? I can't remember.
What has happened? So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Oh, boy.
Wow. They say it's perfectly through that.
They say masturbation's perfectly normal. Just try doing it in front of your friends.
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And
oh, maybe you were.
It was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point.
Inexplicable? You can't explain
point.
It?
I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I
so
have
he's
spent
not an
the seven... in subsequent months. Miserable.
Oh, this is great. Listen to this. By the way, there's part of this that really bothers me. You tell me what it is. You ready? So 7 months, he's really been trying to figure out who he is and, like, be a better person.
Well, months in my life, I can certainly confess. Trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
Okay.
Yes.
Working at a food bank.
Okay, my guess is
Jeffrey Toobin touching food.
Oh, John.
Working at a food bank.
My guess is that was a therapist's idea. That in order for him to get outside himself, that's what they always say. When you're feeling really depressed, you go out and you help other people in distress, and it alleviates your focus, your inward focus on yourself. That's probably what he was doing. I don't think it was a humble brag about, look at me, like we talked about yesterday.
I'm not bragging. I'm saying the fact he's touching food after touching himself. Even in the food bank, like, you know, even if you're starving to death, Jeffrey Toobin hands you something, and you're like, aren't you that guy that was touching himself during the Zoom call? And you're like, and he's like, yeah, here's some scones. You're like, gonna pass on the scones.
How is he going to be a better person?
I don't know.
That from this point on, he's not going to touch himself while on Zoom. That makes you a better person? It doesn't really even seem like it's a therapy issue. I don't know.
Mom, change the station.
I agree. Do change the station, Mom. I read to see, like, Pee Wee Herman. That was the last famous person that got caught.
Yeah.
And guess how Pee Wee Herman said, I wanted to go to court. I wanted to testify. Do you know why?
No, why?
Masters and Johnson, which did the preeminent study of
sexuality
said that no one ever uses their non-dominant hand while pleasuring themselves. And apparently the police officer saw Pee Wee Herman and mentioned his right hand. And Pee Wee Herman says, I was going to go to court and say, nope, because I'm left-handed. Take that. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, that poor girl who's listening to us right now.
You know what, though?
I think I like Tom better.
Here we go. Keel Mortgage 1-888-778-KIEL. Sean and I are working. I have to recut a spot for Keel Mortgage, and I have to sing the jingle, Tom. And every time I did it yesterday during the commercial break, Sean kept going, no, it's Keel Mortgage. He says, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's like pronounced with two syllables instead of one sort of incremental increase up. So
yes.
I wish I had the audio handy. But yeah, John.
I was pretty terrible.
It wasn't the greatest. I had to send you an example of the jingle.
I know.
Blooper reels. We want to hear the blooper reels.
Keel Mortgage. See, Tom,
it was funny when my voice cracked. The kids love that sort of thing.
Right, you got to ask your voice coach for some help on that, John.
Oh, that's right. How's that going?
I got rid of that.
That was fast. You're an impulsive man, John.
I don't know. $80. I was just like, I don't need that. I got to save my money and hope the IRS releases my tax returns. The wealthiest executives paid little. This is not news, by the way. I look just to see 2016, 2017, 2018. Warren Buffett talks about taxes after Donald Trump paid $757, and then everybody started looking at it. 2012, big tax cuts as well. Who's paying taxes? Who doesn't pay taxes every year? Gates doesn't pay taxes, doesn't pay income taxes. It's the story that everybody knows, but the other story is the fact that someone from the IRS leaked this information. So,
any unauthorized disclosure of confidential government information by a person with access is illegal, and we take this very seriously. The IRS commissioner said today that they are taking all appropriate measures, including referring the matter to investigators, and Treasury and the IRS are referring the matter to the Office of the Inspector General, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, all of whom have independent authority to investigate. So obviously, we take it very seriously. I'm not going to comment on specific unauthorized disclosures of confidential government information.
That's the story. The story is somebody in the IRS.
Well, there are two stories, yeah.
Well, that other one's not news. That's not news. Is that news?
Well, it's...
Did you know that Bill Gates doesn't pay federal income tax?
I don't know if Gates was one of the ones mentioned here, but they do mention individuals like Warren Buffett and Bezos. I didn't see Gates, but maybe he's among in here. But the only difference, John, is you're right. I mean, most of us suspect that that's the case because they've got super smart lawyers and, you know, all sorts of tax loopholes that are written in the law that they can take advantage of. The only thing now is that based on this treasure trove of perhaps illegally released, we assume
that we now have information though that
proves it. If these are accurate, it proves it. That's the only difference. Rather than having a suspicion or a hunch, or having Warren Buffett admit that he pays, you know, fewer taxes than his secretary or something, this is data that proves it. Yeah,
this is a crime.
Yes, assuming that's the case, you know, just to put a
tiny context into it.
Nope, because
this
well,
is
because,
well, hold on. What I'll play
let me tell you.
You.
Let me tell you
I'll
why.
Play, hold on.
This is a qualifier.
This is a crime.
Any unauthorized disclosure of confidential government information.
Yes.
Was it authorized? The releasing of government information, was that authorized?
Let me explain why. It might not be. The problem is I don't know what they actually have. So, but remember, I don't know if you remember the about a year ago, it was before the election, there was this huge dump of information that the New York Times got access to, and they did like a history of Donald Trump's finances. I mean, it was something like 40 pages long, you know, newspaper, newsprint stuff. It was an amazing, probably a Pulitzer Prize winning investigation. And they said, how did they get this? Well, it turns out that Mary Trump, so Trump's sister's daughter, so his niece, had access to all this stuff because she was in a dispute with Trump and released that stuff, that treasure trove herself, to the New York Times, which was not illegal because it was in her possession. It was about her finances. Mm-hmm. So there could be what I don't know is what, you know, how extensive this trove is. It sounds like because it's not about just one person or a couple of people that it's, you know, they say the top 25 richest Americans, that this no doubt looks like it is probably a leak unless the individuals did it themselves for whatever reason. We do know that there are some super rich people like Warren Buffett that think they ought to pay more taxes and is releasing it. But if it's as broad based as 25 different people, then my hunch
is common.
That's not the case.
Here's the two sad parts of the story. One, the story is that somebody at the IRS decided they wanted to release this. That's the first story. And the fact that it is not that not being the story also makes it a story. And the third sad story is the fact that this is not uncommon. I found seven different examples of seven different administrations where the IRS was used as an attack dog to go after people. One of the ones I love, not only Nixon talked about how he was going to get people, then also Roosevelt went after Mellon. And so much so that even though the IRS said we can't find anything on Mr. Mellon, he said keep going anyway. He got the FBI, the DOJ, everybody. Finally, Mellon sits down with Roosevelt across the table and says, I'll tell you what, here's what I'll do for you. I will, how about this? I'll take money and I will build the National Gallery for you. I'll take my own money and I'll build the National Gallery. And you know what Roosevelt said?
No.
That's good. I'll take that deal. And then when Mellon walked out of the room, Roosevelt said, continue to investigate him, even though they couldn't find anything on him. And finally, when Mellon died, the whole thing went away. Roosevelt did it. Coolidge did it. Nixon did it. Obama did it. They say that George Bush did it as well. George I did it, went after different groups, used the IRS to go after private citizens. This is an example of it. The fact that this is not the story is the amazingly sad part of the story. Oh, look at the fact that they don't pay any taxes. They're following the law. The law sets up that they're allowed to do what they do and they're able to avoid having to pay income tax. That's not a story. That's not a story.
Well, first off, it's a story if it emphasizes the fact that now we have proof that our suspicions are indeed the case. That doesn't legal. It doesn't allow that to be legal if indeed there are a leak and there's going to be that investigation. So
they're
establishing
legally-
that is secondary. Yes, just about every you know big news worthy story that's broken is from some leak, and a lot of those leaks are illegal leaks, and then
from
you have to pay the consequences.
The
Edward
IRS.
Snowden
I take this
is living
seriously
in
as you do.
Russia.
I very well remember what President Nixon did in the
Attorney
Watergate
General
period.
Barlin.
The creation of enemies lists and the punishment of people through reviewing their tax returns. This is an extremely serious matter. People are entitled, obviously, to the greatest privacy with respect to their tax returns. To be honest, I know nothing more than about this than what I read in the ProPublica piece, which I also read and was astonished. Now, what I did read in that piece was that the director of the IRS is on it, and he said that their inspectors were working on it. And I'm sure that that means it will be referred to the Justice Department. And when I this was on my list of things to raise after I finished preparing for this hearing, and I promise you it will be at the top of my list.
Okay, politically, let's just do some circumspect. Here's the story. Why does somebody at the IRS decide to release this? What's the benefit?
Well, interestingly enough, John, it's not to go after any one individual. I think this seems to be an effort to support the kind of legislation that Joe Biden's administration is advocating for right now, which is to start taxing wealth and not just labor income.
Yes, exactly. So somebody inside the IRS, sympathetic to what Biden wants to do, which is to use and spend more money than has ever been spent before, to be the most progressive, the most liberal president we've ever elected, someone in the IRS releases this information to push along that political point of view.
Yes, but also this could create more of a headache. This might have been. So let's assume there's a leaker and the leaker did this with political intent. It could be somebody from the farther to the left that is trying to use this to push Joe Biden more to the left. It might not be. I personally don't think that Joe Biden said, hey, release this information because it's going to help me. I think it was released by, if it was released by anybody with a political motive, that it was more on the left-wing side of the Democratic Party Biden even more so.
Absolutely, because Joe Biden doesn't even know what day it is. Tracy Taylor, look at Trump.
Not true.
I'm eating an apple, Sean. Hold on.
Okay.
Still eating an apple.
Great.
Say something, Jake. I'm eating an apple.
I just want to let the listeners know that John is eating an apple right now.
I mentioned I'm eating an apple.
We'll be back any moment.
What kind of apple is it, John?
I don't know, but I just ate the little label that comes with it. Why do they leave those labels
on?
It's
a horse apple.
That's right. All right. Heavier passengers, by the way, on the airplanes. New safety limits on airlines. Wall Street Journal basically walks you through the fact that we've gotten fatter. And now they have to make new estimates as to how much weight we are carrying, not only with our bags, but our bodies. And the airplanes are making adjustments, Tom.
Yes. So if we say that take your average plane and let's say you have a 100 score, you can't go above that. And we've been assuming that everybody on the plane weighs a certain amount. So we never get to that 100 score. And they say now that we're so much heavier over the last couple of decades that we need to calculate that into that score up to 100 so that we don't go over 100. And because of that, they say the chances of somebody getting bumped who had already bought a ticket, increases to some degree, or the airlines are going to have to get bigger planes to take on more people because we might go over that list. The one thing that doesn't make sense to me, John, is they've raised it. I don't know if it matters what the actual details are, but they've gone up like 5% body weight or 10% body weight. But they also say that applies to baggage. I don't understand baggage. Baggage is baggage. It seems to me that you can weigh the baggage. I'm surprised that they have to come up with an assumption of how much each bag weighs, and that's got to be more. It needn't be more. I may have put on 25 pounds in the last, 5 years or 10 years or something. That doesn't mean my baggage has gone up. I'm just surprised that they included baggage.
Well, let me explain. Okay. So you wore a pair of pants that were a size 31 waist, 32 length. Now you're wearing
Really?
Hold on.
My clothes are heavier
because there's more of the material to cover your giant, like, mushy body. Yes.
Speaking of which, did you see that Trump is getting blasted for wearing two big pants?
Hold on a second. I'm going back to your giant heavy clothes.
Mom, change the station.
No, we're not changing the station. Bigger clothes cover bigger bodies, weighs more. Plus, people are carrying more junk with them.
I love that idea.
You know, why have more stuff?
You have 3 more inches on your pants, so therefore your luggage is going to weigh that much more. I don't know. You fly more than I do, John. You may know.
By the way, by 2030, 50% of Americans will be obese. And if we continue to grow as we are growing, by 2070, the average American will weigh well over 700 pounds.
Hey, we'll all have to take trains then. And you say train is a dying industry.
Boring, and it's two men laughing at their own jokes.
That's exactly right. All right, Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us.